blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise. And enter now into thy rest. Oh, let this house be thy abode, forever with thy presence blessed. Stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 368. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, thereof the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 20. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 20. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, and that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So far the reading of God's holy word. We announce that Reverend Bazin has accepted the call to the Rock Valley, Iowa congregation. We hope to remember in prayer Chad Outshorn, who must undergo his procedure again in the week to come, and further all that are sick and old and in the nursing home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast in thy eternal decree given a decree which shall be performed even to the last jot and tittle here upon this world. And when we have heard in this morning hour that our brother is sent from this place to a new congregation, then, Lord, it is felt how that thy servants, they are so necessary in this world. Thou does say to the one, come, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And there is now a congregation that is left behind in the midst of us. Lord, may thou remember them. May thou supply for them also in the future, and give them a cry to heaven, that thou may send among them one of thy truly sent servants to go in and out amongst them. Oh, that thou would look upon thy own children. Give them a sigh, Lord. Give them a cry. Help thy servant. when he is to go to another place. Lord, may thou be on his right and on his left. And may thou richly endue him with a double portion of thy Holy Spirit and instruction in thy ways from on high, as each and every one of us do stand in need of, who are sent to administer thy holy word and sacraments amidst the congregations. Lord, may thou send more servants into thy vineyard. It is a calling that is subject only to thy speaking, to thy decree, to thy will, to thy good pleasure. Thou must send, otherwise then man runs in his own strength, and it shall all come to nothing. Lord, we beseech thee, remember us as a denomination. Raise thou up those amongst us who are truly converted and called and thrust into that vineyard by thee, who have no strength on their own side, and who have no ability, and who may experience that thou art a faithful God, that thou art so true, and that thou standest on the right and on the left of thy servants. And when thou callest, thou givest everything that they stand in need of. Lord, that it may be that thy servants may look upon thee also in this day. They are over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Lord, may thou help them when they have nothing. That thou may fill them with thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may speak through their mouth. That they may be just an instrument in thy hands, as clay in thy holy fingers, that it may bring forth fruit to that never-ending eternity. Do remember all thy people. Lord, thou hast made them alive. Then they stand in need of food and drink. Then they must eat and be satisfied. Lord, that they may not starve. May thou help them in the places where they are in this day. Every one of them, they are called by thee. And they are called by thy name, but they do not know it. Lord, may thou instruct them more and more. May thou teach them. May thou lead them beside the still waters and in the fat pastures of free and sovereign grace that they so stand in need of. They might learn more and more to hunger and to thirst after that righteousness that we have read in thy holy word. Thou dost say, ye are the light of the world. They see it not, Lord. And yet it is thy truth. The world that is not looking to that people, and yet it is the light that does shine here below, and that people that are humbled in the dust of self-abasement, that people that are brought so low in the estimation of themselves, that people that have no self-strength and that have no wisdom of themselves. Lord, they are the light of this world. A man with all his earthly wisdom, he pretends to be the light. But Lord, he is nothing but darkness. Even after him that does lead them, their father the devil. But that thou may give the world to see that light, that it may be shown in the life of thy people, that they may be a living testimony in the midst of the darkness that is here below. A warning lamp that men would not dash themselves upon the rocks. A speaking light, that men may be enlightened in the midst of all of the darkness. A light that may be given to show the way of thy true church.
in unto thy dear Son, into the necessity of a mediator, a redeemer, for their poor, never dying soul. O Lord, strengthen thy people. O give them courage. Give them grace. Give them life in their soul and exercise in this day, when we may be together in thy house of prayer. And when it may be that they are sitting in the prison house with not one ray of light to see the way wherein they can be reconciled to the Most High God. Oh, open it unto them, Lord. Remember the whole congregation. Oh, we have no desire by nature. And we look unto all the things that are here below. Oh, thou hast no form and no comeliness. Thou hast no beauty that we should desire thee. Thou hast made thyself so humble. Thou hast brought thyself so in the depths that man has no desire to follow after thee. No desire for such a king. No desire to renounce this world. No desire to deny ourselves. No desire to live as a stranger and as a pilgrim here below, and to seek a city that has foundations. Lord, all our desire that is before thee, the desire of the natural heart and flesh that is after all this world, oh, that thou may give a new desire. Oh, that in this day thou may open thy word, that thou may do as we have sung together, that thou may fill this house of prayer with thy holy presence, that thou may come in the midst of us and of our dear children. Lord, we cannot do without thee, and we cannot do without thy word applied in our heart and life. And we cannot do without the unction of thy Holy Spirit in the preaching and also in the hearing, else we sit as dead stocks and as stones in this morning hour, else we come in this place as a stone, and as we and then we go also as a stone, even harder, as we have been hardened under this under the preaching of thy holy word. Oh, may it never be a savor of death, unto any one of us, Lord. Young and old, oh, give us a holy urgency that does not lie in our hearts by nature. Plant the love of thee in our hearts. Then we shall have love for thy day, and love for thy word, and for all thy institutions. And Lord, oh, give that in the midst of us there may be the cry, even of that publican of old, who did not dare to lift up his eyes to heaven, but he did smite upon his breast and cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake, thou who hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, to seek and to save that which is lost. O Lord, we are lost. Does not our life show it? Is it not a testimony that comes from every one of us continually, with a heart that is following after all that is vain and carnal? So lost, lost, lost. And Lord, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot find a way. That is the reason thou hast sent thine only begotten Son. Oh, that thou may do it then for his name's sake. Oh, bless that which thou hast done. And bless that which he has done in giving himself for such a wretched and ungodly people, even unto the death of the cross, to shed his blood and to pay that awful price for sin. Oh, that a people may be reconciled to thee again. Oh, bring them, Lord, again unto thee. Bring them into thy Father heart. Oh, give them this day to realize as the prodigal of old, that they are without substance. Oh, give them to think upon their Maker, think upon their Creator. Oh, that they might begin to be in want, and they may rise up again and return unto thee. O Lord, wilt thou not be glorified? And wilt thou not bless thy word to that end? And we do not deserve it. Our life, oh, that shows how wretched and sinful we are. Oh, so just art thou, Lord, when thou wouldst cast us away forever. So righteous, when under the preaching of thy word, thou wouldst say, oh, that our hearts should be hardened time and again. Oh, so righteous, when thou wouldst give that our place would be with him whom we have chosen in our father Adam, even with our father the devil, whom we delight to serve with all our heart and all our mind, with all our strength. O Lord, who can deliver himself from the grasp of that wretched creature? Oh, that thou would give in this day that strong man armed may be bound and may be cast out forever, and that thou would come and that thou would fill the place with thyself. Oh, what a wonder it would be in the midst of us, when young and old may be given a heart to turn to thee. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And our words are so poor. And our intentions, oh, they are nothing, Lord. But when thou would say one word this morning, oh, when thou would speak with thy mouth, oh, then this one and that one, they shall be drawn, and all the world shall be left behind to their great joy in the beginnings here below and to a never-ending eternity. Oh, look upon these children. Look upon these youth. Lord, give them in the days of youth to remember their Creator. Give them that sweetness of thy service poured out in their soul. Oh, they shall not serve this world then anymore. Lord, remember fathers and mothers. Turn us, Lord, turn us from serving the ways of sin and of this world. And oh, bring us to set a right example before our children. Make us more faithful. Wilt thou make us to be upright before thee? Wilt thou look upon all the afflicted ones and be with the sick ones that have difficulties of mind and body, those that receive treatments, her also that is in the nursing home. Lord, may thou strengthen each one of them in their places this day. Be with all those that mourn, that miss their loved ones. What a misery is experienced here below. It is our own sin. Oh, we have brought it upon ourselves. But Lord, we look upon to thee. Oh, remember all those that are afflicted. Be with also the young child who again must go for his procedure in this week to come. Lord, so many times, give us not to become used to it, but wilt thou give help from above again as thou hast in the past. And may thou give that it may be blessed, and that he may increase in health and strength. Wilt thou supply for our children in these weeks that they are not in school? Oh, be their teacher, Lord. Oh, instruct them from above and keep them from all sin, accident, evil, and danger. Wilt thou be also with us as a people? Oh, could it please thee to send rain amongst us? Oh, that thou may give that the earth that is so dry may again receive out of thy hand. Oh, may it be thy right hand, that we may receive a little bit of relief, that the crops may be given what is necessary to grow, and that thou would send us what is necessary for this life. And oh, under all these callings, oh, may thou give us to turn from all of our sin and to look inward and to search ourselves and to turn to God. Wilt thou help us this morning? Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. Oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, may thou show that thou art so in this morning. unto us who are called to stand in this place again. O Lord, we know not how to go in and out amongst this people. Thy servant did ask for wisdom. O, give it to us too. And wilt thou help us from above? And wilt thou fill us, Lord, each and every one in the speaking and in the hearing, with that which we can give ourselves, a portion, a double portion of thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 193, stanzas 1 through 6. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor a redress. Stanzas 1 through 6 of Psalter 193. Thank you. Congregation, we read in these chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Who was the preacher of that sermon? Do you know that, boys and girls? That was the greatest preacher that there ever was here in this world. And that is the preacher who has sent forth all preachers in this world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What a blessed thing that must have been. When we read that the Lord Jesus has gone into this mount, and when His disciples and His flock, they are gathered around the Lord Jesus, and they may hear the Lord Jesus preach. Blessed people, because He spake as no man spake in this world. But congregation, we are blessed too. Because what do we have? We have this sermon preserved for us. Those words that were spoken of old by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that think that this is the very first sermon, actually, of the Lord Jesus in His ministry. Then how does the Lord Jesus begin? And He is not addressing all of that multitude. Then He is not only addressing His servants, His officers, but the Lord begins by addressing the afflicted and the poor church of God. Thus He begins by doing as He has said even unto Isaiah of old, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And thus He sets an example. Sets an example for every one of His servants that are in this world. And then what does the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus lays out the character of that true church of God. And the Lord Jesus lays out the happiness, young people, the happiness of that true church of God. There was utter confusion in that time about this point. There is utter confusion in our days also about this point. The Lord Jesus therefore defines the character of His church. What does He say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. And so He goes on. They are not our words. They are the words that have come out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What a comfort. What a comfort this is immediately upon the entrance of His ministry in this world. For that true church of God, who may hear their name in the preaching of that great preacher. And the hypocrite? And the hypocrite is angry, because it did not include the hypocrite. No, the Pharisees and the scribes. You can read that very soon, what the Lord Jesus has said unto them. Therefore the Lord Jesus lays here, congregation, the foundation. The foundation of His whole ministry. When He begins as He is setting out. And then in these Beatitudes, then He lays out seven of the distinct features of the character of God's true church. And then in the eighth, then he says, it is these that are of this character that are persecuted in this world. For what the Lord has made them thus, he draws that sevenfold character, that complete, that true character of his church, and the sevenfold happiness, the sevenfold blessedness, the sevenfold glory of that true church of God. And where does he take his language from? We can hear that time and again, that he is reaching back into the Old Testament, and that he is showing that it is no new doctrine that he is bringing in this world, no, but that it is the same church, even from the very beginning unto the end of this world. And therefore, congregation, with the help of the Lord, then we wish in the coming weeks to speak to you about the character of that true church of God. Every feature that you may read here in that character, that is a feature that is not missing in some degree in every one of those true children of the Lord. And therefore, that is so fit for our own self-examination. And what is now more important when we are traveling to that never-ending eternity, and then that we know whether we ourselves are within that kingdom of God. We wish to begin with our text for this morning hour, which you can find in chapter 5 of Matthew, and thereof the third verse. Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So far the words of our text. The poor in spirit, blessed. First, what it means to be poor in spirit. Second, how the poor in spirit are blessed. The poor in spirit, blessed. First, what it means to be poor in spirit. Second, how the poor in spirit are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? We read many, many times in the Word of God what God calls his own children, his own church. And he calls them by the terms poor, needy, afflicted. David says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Isaiah says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So what does that mean, that poor and needy? Because there is much affliction that we have to experience in this world. Then we cannot deny that it is mostly the poor in this world that the Lord says are rich in faith. James says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Paul speaks about being sorrowful, and yet he says, always rejoicing. He says, as poor and yet making many rich. He says, as having nothing and as yet possessing all things. Thus we cannot deny that it is many of the poor in this world. We think of Asaph, how he has seen this in the experience, that it is often the rich that are prospering in this world. And yet, there are many places where we read in the Word of God that the Lord is speaking about the poor, and yet He is not speaking in the context of anything that has to do with the things of this world. David says, "Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor." And in Psalm 69, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let Thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners." And so in many places, then we can read that it has nothing to do with the poverty that is in this world. Thus it is clear that the Lord is many times not speaking of a natural poverty. And here, then the Lord Jesus is making it so especially clear, because then He talks not only about the poor, but about the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does He speak of? He speaks of a disposition. He speaks about a certain character. He speaks about a certain spirit of men. And that is in all of these Beatitudes. So that is not merely the natural temperament that a man is given in this world. Because we know that some people, they have a meek temperament. Some people, have a very timid temperament, and so on. But then He does not speak only about a natural character of men, but He's speaking about something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. Thus the Lord Jesus, immediately in the beginning of His ministry, and then he shows the how that He is going to speak and set up here in this world the kingdom of God that is a spiritual kingdom. Then He begins immediately to speak about the inner man. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There are actually two words that are translated in our English Bible into the word blessed. They are not always distinguished so strictly in the Word of God. But one of those words, blessed, that is pointing especially to the things that are coming from without. But this word here, when the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," then He is speaking about something which is especially inward. That is, that He is speaking in a higher, He is speaking in a loftier sense. And those congregation are truly blessed. What did Isaac say to Esau of Jacob? He says, "I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed." Thus it is also with this word spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is not the natural spirit, the natural disposition, character of men. But we read of a different working of the Spirit of God upon the spirit of man. Thus we read about Paul when he was going to Jerusalem, that he was bound in the Spirit. Thus there was a higher, there was a loftier purpose, there was a decree from God that the Lord was working in his soul against his friends, natural desires against all the natural desires of men, but working supernaturally in His Spirit to send Him for a higher purpose unto Jerusalem. What did the Lord Jesus say when He rejoiced in spirit, He says, when the Lord had revealed His secrets unto the babes, and He has hidden those secrets from the wise and from the prudent. We read in the garden that there the Lord groaned in His spirit. No, that was at the grave of Lazarus. But we read of Judas that the Lord Jesus was troubled in the spirit when Judas would betray Him. Thus, that supernatural binding of the Lord upon the spirit of a man. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking here when He is speaking about the poor in spirit. That is a spiritual mark that is wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart and in the life of that true church of God. What is it? It is a deep, it is a conscious realization of the spiritual lack that is within. It is a conviction that I am devoid of everything that I need, that I may truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Or it is an impression of the deep fall of our dead state. To be poor in spirit, that is the great paradox in the life of God's true people. What does the Lord Jesus say? He said, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But it is exactly this mark, this poverty, that is making the true church question everything in their life. They have nothing. And they are nothing. They are conscious of their emptiness. They are conscious of their spiritual lack. They never thought that it was going to be this way. No, when the Lord has first brought them on that way, then they thought that they were going to go from strength to strength. And now when they have been on that way for some time, then they are asking the Lord, how can this be? Why then, if I am one of thy true children, why am I thus? Why am I what? Oh, they thought they would get better. And they thought they would do better. And now they have to complain. Why is that? That all my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. They thought they would be able to resist sin. They thought that they would be able to turn away from sin. And what do they have to complain about? The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. They thought their life that was going to be holier. And what do they see? That they are nothing but a whited sepulchre. Oh, they can indeed do good deeds for their fellow man. Oh, but inside, that is nothing but a stench before the Lord. They never thought it would be this way. They never thought it would go this way. They thought they would be just clay. Oh, that's the way it was it not, people of the Lord? That you were just clay in the hands of the Lord when the Lord poured out His Spirit, or you could leave this whole world. And now what? Oh, how resistant is that flesh to bow
to bow so submissively and wholeheartedly under the blessed will of the Lord. Oh, they thought it was going to be a close life. And what do they have to say? The world that is laying in my heart, and I cannot even pray. Poor in spirit.
Congregation, if you would ask the people, young people, if you would ask the people, do you ever do that? You ask them, are you one of that poor in spirit? Do you know what you would perhaps hear? I don't dare to say that. I thought once I was. That is God's people. That is God's people. And I thought once it was so. But I don't dare to say it anymore. Ask them again. Can you deny everything? No, cannot deny everything. Ask them again. How is it then in your life? Do you know what you will hear? It is so poor. It is so poor. Do you hear the contradiction? It is so poor. And why? Why is it so poor? Because the Lord deals so hardly with you? No. It is my own fault. My heart. I live so far away. The lack of love, the lack of zeal, the lack of fervor, the lack of faith, that hard heart, that cold heart. Watson says this: he that is poor in spirit is ever complaining of his spiritual estate. He is like a poor man who is always telling you what he wants, always telling you what he lacks. The poor, they are beggars. And the poor in spirit, congregation, they are beggars. And the cry that is continually going up, and their sigh unto heaven. What a great difference with the hypocrite. He is not spiritually poor. No, you know what he will tell you, young people? He will tell you always not what he lacks. He will tell you what he has. He has faith. He can turn it on and off just at the push of a button. Whenever that he needs it. And he will very quickly condemn the poor in spirit. Because, he says, they're doubting that is so sinful. They have comfort. Yes, because they can take the word of God, turn a few pages, and immediately they can apply one of those words of God onto their own case. And so they are never long in the pit. They are never long in the slough of despond. They have that zeal of Jehu, and they will tell you that. Come with me, and I will show you my zeal for the Lord. They are ready. They are ready in that zeal. And they are ready to instruct God's people. Tell them how it should be. And the poor in spirit. And they are ready in their mission to go and to convert this whole world. Oh, they have good works. But they are haughty. They are self-assertive. They are independent. But how will it be? How will it be? How awful will it be on that day and that they are standing before God, and that they are saying in their boldness to God, as they have said before men all their life long, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then to hear from the side of the Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But the poor in spirit, what will they say? That is not our word. That is the word of the Lord that we bring you. Then they will say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? When saw we thee athirst and gave thee drink? When saw we thee sick and in prison and came to visit thee? What are they? Poor in spirit. Blessed, the Lord Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that are brought to that place of the prodigal. What was that place? It was a place where he began congregation to be in want. To be in want. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into want. How is it in your life? Are you in want? Or have you no spiritual want? Will we bring ourselves there? Never. Impossible. How can it be? Will we throw everything away that we value so highly? It's impossible. Will you throw all your goods away in this world, congregation, so that you may become poor? And don't expect the help of others, because then they will deem you nothing but a fool and expect you to throw away everything that they give you. No, we do not make ourselves poor. And we do not make ourselves poor in spirit. We fight against becoming poor in spirit. But this congregation is so necessary. Why? Boys and girls, let me make it simple. When you will fill a cup, first the cup has to be what? Has to be what? Do you know? Say, that is easy. Yes, very easy. It is so simple. It has to be empty. And then you can fill it. So it is that evil spirit, he fills our heart, and that evil spirit must be bound, the Lord Jesus says. He must be cast out, that that Holy Spirit may dwell within. Outside of that spiritual poverty, there is no access to the blessed riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Thus, that spiritual poverty that is lying at the basis, that is lying at the foundation of every spiritual blessing. That is how a man is made fit to receive the salvation of the Lord. Oh, that is a poverty that belongs to true faith. True faith. Then what do we believe? When the Lord makes us poor, what do we believe? We believe God. Then we believe His Word. And what the Lord declares to us in His Word, what is that? Fallen creature. Without God in the world. Sinful creature. Rebellious creature. With
no spiritual desire, dead in trespasses and in sins. That is faith. That is the foundation, and that precedes every embracing of the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time or by renewal in all His fullness, in all His suitability, in all His excellency. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, it is the poor that have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because we don't need anything from ourselves. No, we need it all from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that I may be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. That was a poor man. Then we had better ask you how little that you have, instead of how much that you have. But then we must also be careful, because our heart that is so deceitful, and what does our heart do? Our heart will make our poverty into riches. But when our heart makes our poverty into riches, that now we have something, then we are not poor anymore. No, that poverty that must be lived out, that poverty makes a man miserable. And that poverty, there is a desire that a man may come out of that poverty. And the Lord is suffering the hypocrite to deceive himself and to lift himself out of that poverty. And his people, they would do the same. But the Lord does not permit him. But he is keeping them in it. Continually stripping that people, difficult way. But it is in His mercy. Do you know, boys and girls, what it says in the Word of God? It says that the Lord went to Lot. Where was he living? Sodom. What did he have? Much, very much. Rich man. You know what the Lord did? The Lord went and took him by the hand, and he led him out of that city, and he forced him to leave all his riches behind. And there he brought him to Zoar. And you know what we read specifically in the Word of God? We read, the Lord being merciful unto him has brought him out. Let us sing. Psalter 186, 1, 2, and 3. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 186.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. And why? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed. What does that word mean? Actually, that word means happy. Thus the Lord Jesus begins his ministry. And he says, who are the happy people? What is true happiness? What a great difference between what the carnal man deems true happiness and what the Lord says is true happiness. What do we think is true happiness? The world looks for happiness in the riches, in the comforts of this world. It is actually an earthly kingdom that man is looking for happiness within. Freedom within that kingdom. Independence within that kingdom. The self-actualization that I can live out who I am. You ever say, young people, blessed are the rich. Happy are the rich. Maybe you don't say it. You know better. But it lies in our heart. It lies in our natural heart. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Show me a man. From the beginning to the end of the world, who has found his happiness in his billions of dollars that he may have in this life. Show me a man. Solomon, rich man, had more than heart could wish. Did he say it was happiness? He said it was the opposite. It was vanity. It was vexation of spirit. The Lord Jesus, here in the beginning of his ministry, then he will reveal what is the secret of that true happiness? Blessed. Blessed, he says, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, he says, these poor, they belong to another kingdom, a special kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. Theirs is, not theirs shall be, no, theirs is. It belongs to them already. It begins already here below, and that they may taste something of the preciousness and the sweetness of that blessed kingdom. To them belong the privileges of the citizens of that kingdom. And what is now the very first privilege that is given to that people? That they may believe what is true. That they may believe the reality. That they do not go over this world deceiving themselves and being deceived as the hypocrite is. Is it not a great curse to think, to say that we are rich and that we are increased with goods and we have need of nothing, when in fact we are poor and miserable and blind and naked? No, there is more comfort in knowing how poor that we are, more comfort in the knowledge of our reality than in all that deceit of the hypocrite. These are given to look that reality straight in the face. That utter poverty because of our deep fall. The Lord does not require sacrifice, but a broken heart and a contrite spirit the Lord will not despise. These have the privileges, congregation, of that kingdom. These are partakers of the divine nature. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, they are given again that image of God, knowledge. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of self. Righteousness. Oh, to know what my state is before God. A broken relationship. Privilege. Blessed people to know the reality. Holiness. A desire to again be holy, that I may again be received into that blessed communion with the Lord. All those poor in spirit. Blessed are they because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are brought, congregation, into a new covenant. That is an unbreakable covenant. A covenant that is sworn by the triune God. New relationship. The relationship between a father and a son, between a husband and his wife. What does the Lord say to that blessed people, that poor in spirit? He says, I will be your God, and you shall be my son. A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put in you. And that stony heart, I will take it out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, so many promises belonging to that poor in spirit in the Word of God. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and he shall save the soul of the needy. And the Lord heareth the poor. And he despiseth not his prisoners. What does the Lord say? To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. Oh, so those poor, they have hope, they have an expectation. And that expectation that shall never be put to shame. They have the privileges of that kingdom. They have the protection of the king. They have the immunities of the citizens of that kingdom. Do you know what is no longer imputed to them? Sin. Or that no longer will be brought against the citizens of that kingdom. No curse. Covered by that blessed robe of righteousness of that king. He setteth the poor on high from affliction. He says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything shall work out for good for the people. I will satisfy, he says, her poor with bread. Blessed, blessed, oh, thrice blessed is that poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are they not a blessed people? Are they not a happy people? Is it any wonder that David says, the poor committeth himself unto thee? Oh, what kingdom
What kingdom congregation are we seeking after? The kingdom of this world or that kingdom of heaven? What a great contrast. We read of Lazarus. He had his good things. And now Lazarus is comforted, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here it is a kingdom of grace. Oh, soon it will be for that people a kingdom of glory. Soon he will say to every one of that poor in spirit, whom he has promised, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, soon he will say, come. Come, he will say, and enter into that kingdom that is prepared for you. From the foundation of the world. Oh, then the happiness of that people that is going to abound. Because he says he adds no sorrow with a congregation. What is all our religion? Young people, oh, we warn you. Because so much is going to come against the truth of the Word of God in your life. Oh, we plead with you to remember this always in your life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because the Christianity of our day, young people, oh, we warn you, it is nothing but deceit. It is denying the reality of the fall of man. It is lifting man up in his pride instead of bringing man in the dust. Everything that is abasing, everything that is stripping to man, that is despised by the preachers and by the people. There is a false Christ being preached. It is a poor Christ and a rich man. A rich man that is able to follow in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That foundation is never laid in men, upon which can be built the Lord Jesus Christ, that true building to the honor of the triune God. But blessed, oh thrice blessed, are the poor in spirit, for theirs. Theirs is the kingdom of God. O congregation, if the Lord has made you poor, he will keep you poor. That will come against every bit that lies in your flesh. But it is the foremost mark. It is the first mark that the Lord Jesus is bringing out for the comfort of his people, of that true church. No, then you can't understand it. You say, how can that be so poor? Yes, it is a paradox. Why? Because God will make it a wonder if you will ever enter in. And what is now the greatest wonder for that people? That it is free. That it is free and sovereign grace. Thus, when you have nothing at all, then you are fit to receive everything from above. And then he is going to receive all the honor and all the glory. What did David say? He says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And then what? And then what? Thou art my help and my deliverer. That is his song. That is his song today, forever and forever. And so will it be for everyone who sings with him already. I am poor and needy here below. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, make us so because we are not so. We are so rich, we are so increased with goods, we hold on to everything And we uphold ourselves. We need to be stripped. Room needs to be made for thee and for thy precious and beloved and dear son. O Lord, come unto us and our children. It is the only way. It is the way that thou hast preached. It is the way thou teachest from the beginning to the end of thy word. It is that way that will be for thy eternal glory, for the salvation of our poor souls. Lord, remember us. Bless thy word. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely home and with desire to gather again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. 403 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken-hearted ones. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 403.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.